The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Now, guess what? Today, October 25th, is the 26th anniversary of the CARM website. I started it 26 years ago today, and it's had, I'm going to go check because I have all the numbers at my fingertips. I just got to open up a file. So, 26 years ago today, and we've got missionaries in Colombia now, and in Brazil, in Turkey, in Africa, and, praise God. And so we have had new visitors to the site, 147,922,499. 147 million visitors. The page views, that means one person could go in and look at two, three pages. Page views is 228 million. And the number of people who've returned, and that means they've come back, they've spent time on the site, and they've hung around and looked around, is 80,470,941. So 80 million people. And this is different people from different computers. That's how you measure it, like different computers people are on. IP addresses. So how about that? 80 million returning visitors in 26 years today. So that's just a, happy birthday and congratulations. Yay! And stuff like that. So there you go. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines. 877-207-2276. Let's just jump on and get to Benjamin from Charlotte, North Carolina. Benjamin, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, sir?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got?
Buddy from the Tacoma, Washington, representing 253206 area code, Western Washington.
Okay, I wonder what that's FEMA camp, something, FEMA roads. Anyway, I don't know. Yeah. So what do you got?
So two quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
First question, I went to visit a church. They have a female pastor. I know her. Not too well, but we know each other. And I was sitting in there today, pretty good message, and just want to know, what are the ramifications spiritually of a female pastor, if there is any? You don't believe in female pastors. So I want to know, what's the consequence of
sin?
Pastorship?
Sin. It's a sinful thing. Because Paul the Apostle says that he gives instructions on how to behave in the household of God, and that's in 1 Timothy 3:15. In the previous chapter, he says he does not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but remains silent, for Adam was first created. And also in 1 Timothy 3, he says the elders and the deacons, along with that, the elders, deacons, and bishops, in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy 3, must be men of one wife, husbands of one wife. And so this woman pastor is in rebellion against the word of God. And all who are sitting under her are participating in her rebellion.
Okay.
Flat out. It's. And you know what? I'm going to just say this again. If anybody wants to debate me on this publicly, a public, formal, moderated debate, filmed, put on live, you want to debate me on this? Let's debate, okay? According to the scriptures, does the Bible support the idea of having women pastors and elders? Well, just that'd be the topic. And anybody want to take me up on it? I've been offering this now for about 17 years, and haven't had any takers yet. Now, why is that? Why do you think that is? Oh boy, yeah. So,
Rebellion. I mean, I agree with you. That's a strong word. So
it is.
Again, what are the consequences for the people in that go to that church?
Hardened
and
heart.
People that are on staff spiritually.
Hardened heart. Refusal. They're rebelling against God. The elders are supposed to be able to teach sound doctrine and refute error. When the Bible clearly tells us that a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over a man, for Adam was first created, that is not a cultural thing. And when you go to 1 Timothy 3, what Paul the Apostle says in verse 15, he says, in case I'm delayed, I'm writing to let you know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So that's what he says in 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. And here's what he says in 1 Timothy 3:2. An overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. Okay, that's what it says. Overseer is the Greek word episkopos. And deacons must likewise be men of dignity, not double-minded, not double-tongued. And then I said, these men must be first tested. And then it says, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. That's for Timothy 3. Now I'm going to go to Titus 1. Okay. He starts off in verse 5. I left you in Crete to appoint elders in every city as I directed you. The word elders is in the Greek presbyteroi, or presbyteros, and it's accusative masculine, which means it's a direct object, indirect object. So here's the thing. It says, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe. It says, for the overseer, that's the word episkopos again. So the overseer and the elder are basically the same thing. And they're to be the husband of one wife. How does a woman fit that? It's simple. How does it, you ask, how does it fit? How do they fit? And the answer is, they don't. So, in my research, 80% of the churches and denominations that adopt women pastors within two generations start approving of homosexuality. So, I've got it documented. So let's just say I go into that church, and I've talked to women pastors before, and this is the same, I tell you what the reaction I get. I've seen women pastors, and they said, hey, you're a women pastor? Oh, yes, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I studied the Bible, and I was wondering if you'd like to have a discussion on the biblical stance of women as ministers, pastors. And they immediately say, not interested in talking to you. Just that fast. Even if I say, but the scriptures tell you to give me an answer. 1 Peter 3:15. They don't want anything to do with it. And I'll tell you why. Because they know that I would quote the scriptures that speak against what they're doing, against it. And they don't want anything to do with it because they're in rebellion against God and His Word in this area. Okay.
You definitely answered my question. So if I'm hearing you right, it opens door to allowing, like you said, homosexuality, allowing things that are contrary to will of God by having women birth the pastors.
Well, it's just not the place. Now, there's a theological reason for this as well. So let me expand on it a little bit more, because I don't want anybody to think that Paul was just a chauvinist. Well, if he was just a chauvinist, as people like to judge him, then, well, who are you? Who are you to say what is right and is wrong and can be done and can't be done? I've had people say, well, Paul was wrong. I mean, I'm serious, and it's women who told me Paul was wrong. I say, man, you're arrogant, and they don't like me calling them that. I'm not talking to you. You're so rude. You're intolerant. You're right. I am intolerant. I'm not being rude. I'm just being truthful. You don't like the truth. And they don't want anything to do with this. They do not like when I confront them. And I confront the men. I went to a local church here. Sorry, I'm going to teach about something. But I went to a local church, and they had women elders. And the pastor, assistant pastor, and I had a meeting. And I wasn't aggressive. I wasn't mean. I just said, well, you're supposed to, give me an answer. And, so here you are. And he gave me the best defense he could from Scripture. I answered it very easily and then went to the Scriptures he ignored that speak in contradiction to what he said. I said, here's what it says, just like what I read you. It says, how's a woman going to be the husband of one wife? How's that work? And he said, well, we just disagree. In other words, I know what it says, but I'm not going to submit to what it says because we're just going to disagree. Now, is that person qualified to be an elder? No. Now, Adam and Eve were in the garden. Okay, I'm going to teach a little theology here because Paul says he does not allow a woman. I'm going to read this and give you a little bit of theological reasons on why this is the case, because it's not just as simple as people like to say. And so, Adam and Eve were in the garden. And Eve sinned first. She then gave the fruit to Paul. Adam, and then he sinned.
Adam.
And so, yeah, I'm looking at something else. I'm typing it in. So she sinned first. She gave the fruit to Adam. Then he sinned. But the Bible says in Romans 5:12 that sin entered the world through Adam, not through Eve, even though she sinned first. And when they were hiding, the pre-incarnate Jesus came and said to the man, "Where are you?" He didn't address the woman. Not first, later, but first to the man, "Where are you?" Because he was the one in spiritual authority and control. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:12 and 13, "I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet." And the word quiet is hesukia, and it means to keep it down. It doesn't mean to be absolutely silent. It just means, you know, keep it down, okay? "For it was Adam who was first created and then Eve." So he's tying it into the created order. That's in 1 Timothy 2:12 and 13. In the next chapter, he says he's giving instruction on how to behave in the household of God. And I have people saying, "No, Paul just wasn't right," or whatever. And they're idiots. I'm sorry, but they're going against the Word of God. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. Now, why does Adam have that representative authority? Because it says Romans 5:12, sin entered the world through Adam. Well, it entered through one man because he represented us. In Romans 5:19, through his transgression, the many, that's everybody, were made sinners by what he did. It's an aorist passive indicative. And so he did this, all right? Now, Jesus is called the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:56. I think it is 56. No, 50:45. The last Adam, he represented his people. It's called representation. If people are going to deny that Adam represented us and had that authority to do so, then they have to deny that Jesus had the authority to represent us. This is theological, and it's based ultimately in the work of Christ, which is why Adam was a representative and a covenant, and God made a covenant with Adam and all people in Adam. So this is theology that's never taught from pulpits. Well, I can't say never, but, you know, I never hear
right.
it. And so they are in rebellion, and they need to repent. Women pastors and women elders need to step down and tell the men to stand up and do their jobs. The men need to start doing it. And if things don't get done in the church, women, then don't let them get done. Just let it go. Let the men finally get going and get off their lazy rears and start doing something. Don't tell them. Let them. And don't get in their way. You know, you're going to do this. Nag, nag, nag. Don't do that. If, you know, the door's not open because a woman was normally doing it, well, I mean, they can surely do that. But my point is, you know what? Men need to stand up and start being Christian men and start standing in the Word of God and say, "This is what it says, and I'm standing for my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. I don't care what others think. That's what I'm doing." That's the kind of men we need in this world today. Okay.
You seem like you're the only one in America probably doing it right now. Look, I don't know anyone else.
Well, I do. I know others who would say the same thing and would be able to debate it very easily. I'm just more of a public figure than they are. But there are those who do that, and it's good. They're out there. But women pastors and elders, and again, I want to debate a woman on this. I would love to debate a woman on this, woman pastor. I would love it. As in love it so much I would marry it. That's how much I'd love it. So, okay. Oh, I got issues, I know. All right, buddy, there you go. All right?
Appreciate it.
All right, man, God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call and join in the mayhem, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm sorry. I just got distracted by reading what's going on the I don't know what we call this thing. Hey, Keith, he's listening. What do we call this thing? The Comrex stack? I guess. Okay. It's where all the calls come in. I can read them. All right, let's see. That's what he called it? Okay, he says yes. He's all right. Keith is a great guy. We talk before the show almost every single time, except when he's lazy and takes a day off and does something important. I take his wife to the doctor, you know, stuff like that, and then I tease him about it. But, yeah, he's a good guy. Anyway, let's see. Let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Rudolph. Yeah, I'm here. Fred? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, I hear you.
Okay. My friend is a Muslim, and I was trying to witness to him. He brought up a book that I didn't know about, but I figured if anyone knew, you would. The book is called Christian Muslim Dialogue. Have you ever read that?
No, not read it, but I think I know here what it is. I'm trying to remember who the participants are, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, it's an attempt. He's trying to convert you, okay?
But I know he is, but he's not gonna do it because I'm trying to get him to see the truth. And he actually says, that the Christian Bible was written by a man. I said,
No.
Who do you think written for wrote it?
No, he doesn't understand. Well, hold on. So what I would do if I were you is I'd go to carm.org, and go to the cut and paste section, look at this stuff on Islam. And in there are quotes from the Quran that tell the Muslims to go to the Christians and ask them what the truth is. And I have it documented. If the Bible's corrupted, why is it that Allah is telling the Muslims to go to the Christians and ask them questions? The documentation of the Quran is there. You can ask them, all right? But what you want to focus on is how were his sins forgiven? How were his sins forgiven?
Right, and that's what I do a lot. I never, because I have a lot of Muslim friends, I'm witnessing, I never go to the New Testament because they love to attack Paul, they love to attack Paul. So
I know.
I always go to the first time.
Yeah, I know. Well, what you do?
They always talk about that. So
when they attack, hold on. When they attack Paul, you go to Acts chapter 9, where Jesus called Paul and told him to be his messenger, and say, was Jesus wrong here? Okay, real simple. So the information is on CARM. I have maybe over 100 articles I've written on Islam. But there's there. Go check it out.
Okay.
And you can go online and get books, Answers to Islam, and just how to respond.
Yes, sir.
There's so much good stuff out there. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
One other question. I knew you're Presbyterian Calvinist, right?
Yeah, I'm a Calvinist, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was listening to, I don't think you believe this, but I was going to ask because he said, I was listening to Olive Tree Ministries over the weekend, and this guy said that Calvinists believe that everyone is going to have to go to the great white throne judgment. Is that true?
Yeah, and that's a proper doctrine. It doesn't matter if you're Calvinist or not. The judgment of our works, but not the judgment of our salvation. If it's particularly the Great White Throne, I don't know if that is, but there's several judgments. But we go through judgment of our works, but not for salvation.
Right.
That's in Christ.
Right. At the beam of seat for Christ. Right? That's the beam of seat judgment.
Yeah. We're passed out of that judgment. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just believe in salvation
so
by grace.
The Great White Throne.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's which, actually, because there's some conflicting information from what I've seen, or ways to understand it a little bit differently. But no, Calvinists don't believe that we're going to face a judgment for salvation. That occurred by Jesus on the cross. And what Calvinists believe is that Jesus paid the sin debt at the cross. That's where it was canceled.
Right.
That's Colossians 2:14. And that God grants that we believe, Philippians 1:29, and we're justified by faith, Romans 5:1. We trust in him. That's it.
Okay. Well, okay. I thought that he was wrong when he said that, but I just wanted to make sure.
Have him call me.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, man. God bless, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right.
My God bless you.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye. All right, let's get to Nathan from Virginia. Nathan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I've got a question for you.
Sure.
So, I'll give you the context. Talking to a Catholic.
Oh, boy.
And they assert that Mary was free from original sin because she had to birth Jesus free from original sin. Uh-huh. What is the proper doctrine on that, and how does it work?
Mary was a, I mean, the Catholic version or the biblical version?
The biblical version, because it's okay. When they brought it up, I was like, I'm not sure how to answer this because I haven't studied it.
Matthew 1:25, Joseph kept her a virgin until Jesus was born. That's what it says. Now, what do you think that means? So what they'll do is they'll say, well, the word until over in other places means this. So therefore, in that context over here, that's what it means. So it's called illegitimate totality transfer. It's an exegetical error. And so they say she was without sin. She was conceived in sin. That's called the Immaculate Conception. Not that Jesus was conceived in sin, but that she was. Because she had to be the God-bearer. So she had to be sinless. And so I just ask him, can you show me that in Scripture? Where does it say that she has to be sinless? It doesn't say that. In fact, she says, you know, rejoice in God my Savior, Luke 1:47. But then they'll say, yeah, that means that she was kept from original sin. And so, and then, you know, they just have their answers. Well, they're not good ones, but they have answers. And then I go in because they're elevating Mary over Jesus. And then what I do is I start reading what they say about Mary in the official documents of the Catholic Church. Oh, my goodness. It's bad.
Yes, I have that bookmark to reference.
On Carm? Because it's...
I guess my question is, I know Jesus has two natures,
yes,
human and divine. My thoughts on it when I originally thought of it was, well, Jesus is not in Adam, so he's free from original sin, because the federal headship is from the Father,
right,
not from Adam.
There you go. That seems to be the answer theologically. He had no biological father, so he wasn't counted in that way. So theologians have theorized, because we don't know, theorized that the sin nature is passed down through the Father, or the federal headship through the Father, and then it's the product of fallenness. So we just don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us, and we can't figure that one out. But Jesus had his, so to speak, Father, you know, as God the Father. Actually, the Holy Spirit moved on her. So it was not, as Muslims think, you know, that God actually had relations, like Mormons teach too. But makes sense? Okay?
All right, thank you very much, Matt.
All right, man. Bye. God bless, buddy. Okay. Hey, we'll be right back after this. I want to talk to a guy about women pastors. He doesn't agree with me. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, but welcome back to the show. Let's get to Scott from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, I do disagree with you concerning the women in leadership roles and pastoral mm-hmm. roles. I just turned the radio on. You're talking to this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, when I think of Galatians 3:28, it talks about, you know, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. Just because mm-hmm. something's in the Bible doesn't mean that. You know, I believe that the Word of God.
Wait, finish your sentence. Just because something in the Bible, it doesn't mean. What?
Just because that something is in the Bible doesn't mean that we... I mean, I need to say this properly. You know, like this verse, Galatians 3:28. There is.
You're not finishing your sentence.
Greek,
just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean...
I'm trying to.
Okay.
I'm trying to finish my sentence.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. Just because slave is in there doesn't condone the fact that we can own a slave.
In
correct.
Yes, that's correct. In biblical hermeneutics, context is everything. And what is going on here in Galatians 3:28 is not about women pastors and elders or church authority. It's about salvation in Christ, through Christ. And the context is about a tutor as was a cultural thing I get into, I explain, and then you're clothed with Christ. It has to do with the cultural thing of tutors in the home with raising children, and then when the children graduated, they were given a new robe, and they were clothed, what means they graduated. So the law points us to that, verse 24. That's why it says there's neither Jew nor Greek. And so you can't apply that to pastoral stuff, because the Bible specifically says a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over a man. So what you're doing with unintentionally is setting Scripture against Scripture.
Are there verses that are in the Bible that, you know, maybe for a particular era, it was written in the context for those individual people?
Of course.
It does.
Yes, absolutely.
Because sometimes we read the scripture and we want to make application to our American lives or our Western world. Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And my desire, okay, and then I want to say something real quick.
This is what Paul the Apostle says. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but remain quiet, for Adam was first created and then Eve. So that he's tying it to the created order, right? So it's not cultural, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't believe it is.
Okay, so woman's not to teach or exercise authority over man, right? And this is in the church context, because the next chapter he says he's giving instruction on how to behave in the household of God. So he's talking specifically about church leadership and stuff like that. And he says doesn't allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man in that church context, because Adam was first created, so it's not cultural, was it? Right?
I'm not sure.
Adam was first created. That's the created order by God Almighty. Paul the Apostle is tying it to what God did. It's not a cultural thing. It's the created order. God created Adam and then Eve. And when sin entered into the world, Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think, you know, if we want to debate, you know, I hope that it would be in a restorative spirit to whether it be a brother or sister, and not to exert that we know more, or that, because I do believe that Galatians 3:28 talks about equality.
Yes, but you got to understand, there's this really bad word that a lot of people don't like, and it's called context. Okay? I know Galatians 3:28 very well, and I have an article on it. But look, you have to understand, it's what it says in verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. He's talking about salvation. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. That's not about church order. It's about salvation. So if you were to take it and apply it over to another verse, then you're violating Scripture.
Okay. Remind me who it was that argued over circumcision. Was it Paul and another brother? One believed that there had to be a physical circumcision. The other believed that it was a circumcision of the heart.
Yeah, Paul talked about circumcision of the heart.
Right.
And yes, in Romans 2, 28, 29, 30. Yeah, and that's a true circumcision. Yeah. But you see, what you're doing... Okay, let me ask you. Do you go to church with a woman pastor? Do you go
at times? Yes.
Okay. She's in rebellion against God's word, and you could politely tell her, "There's a guy on the radio who'd love to invite her on the radio," and or I would fly out to where she is if she wants to debate me publicly in the church, and have a discussion and go through this. No problem. It's not a mean thing. I'm a nice guy. This is important because men are failing to do their jobs. And when women step into the place of where a man is, he has all the more reason to do nothing. And 80% of the denominations and churches that I've ever researched on this issue, within two generations of affirming women pastors and elders, within two generations, 80% start adopting pro-homosexual stuff. So let me ask you a question, just curious. Is homosexuality a sin? Just curious. What do you think? Is it a sin?
I believe the scripture is clear on a man should not be with a man as with a woman and vice versa. So, yes, it is a sin.
Okay, good. And so when Paul clearly says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over men, but remain silent, for Adam was first created. Is that clear or not clear? It's clear.
I really don't know.
Yes.
I really
don't know.
I agree with you. I'm not I mean, here's why I don't. You know, I know, I won't say a name, but a gentleman that used to be an apologetic, said that, you know, out of all the people that Christ chose to reveal that he was risen from the dead, it was women.
Of course,
right?
Women
and
are
so
great.
Women are, agree. But if they don't have validity, if they shouldn't teach, if they shouldn't preach, if they shouldn't proclaim, then why did God allow or choose even two women to witness the resurrection and to be the ones to proclaim that?
Well, that's he did that, but it doesn't mean they could be preachers and teachers, because Paul clearly tells us so. Look, what you're trying to do is ignore what the scriptures clearly teach. Now, if I were to go to Titus chapter 1, this is one of the pastoral epistles. This is what Paul says. Now, a pastor is automatically an elder. That's 1 Timothy 5:17. But notice what he says. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if a man is above reproach, the husband of one wife. How does a woman pastor become a husband of one wife?
Yeah, so when you said that to that gentleman, I was thinking about different verses. Like it says that God gives his beloved rest, or he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So if somebody hasn't found a wife, does that mean that God's favor is not on them and they haven't found a good thing?
You're not answering my question. You're not answering the question, okay?
Well, I am.
So, Scott, what you're doing is you're resisting.
Yes.
And I mean this pastorally, okay? You're resisting the word of truth because you have a sensation and a feeling, and you want to subject the word of God to what you think is right. And I've tried to show you that when you went to Galatians 3:28, that you took it out of context. Mm-hmm. And you try to apply it to contradict a very clear place of Scripture. When I tell you, Paul says, I don't allow this, you say, well, I don't know if it's clear. And yet when you go to Galatians 3:28, you know, neither the male nor female, you know, Jew or Greek, we're all one in Christ, you say it's very clear, and it means you can be women pastors. And it's not even talking about that. So what's happening is, and I'm not trying to, you know, get on you here, I just want you to understand that what you're doing you're subjecting the Word of God to your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a feeling and an idea, woman pastor is okay. It's not. And I formally, officially offer the challenge for the umpteenth time. I've been on radio like 17, almost 17 years. And I keep offering, let's debate it. Let's have a public debate. And nobody takes me up on it. Nobody.
Right.
No, I'm not the only one. There are lots of people who would be glad to debate this. And just say, you know, it's not mean. Let's go. You give me your best arguments, and I'll give you my best arguments. Let's see. Let's see what the Scripture says. But you see, they don't want to do this because they'll lose. Because it's what the Scriptures teach. Okay? And they will lose. And that's why they don't want to be any part of it. And they know they'll lose. And so they continue to rebel against God's word. We got to go, buddy. There's a break, okay? Keep listening, all right?
Right. Thank you much.
Okay, man. Scott, thanks for calling. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Let's see. Next longest waiting is Buskman from Dayton, Ohio. Hey, Buskman. Well, welcome here on the air.
Hey, we talked a little earlier there, my dear friend Matt, about Saeed, my Muslim friend. And thank you for the other callers that called, because I got a little bit more information. And I will be getting you those publishers' names, sir. I'm sorry I've been busy.
But
I want to get you those publishers of those pamphlets that my friend sent. Matt, I wanted to ask you this, sir. In light of our current condition here in the United States of America, what should the Christian and or the church's stance be on, I'll pick a topic, Matt, the COVID vaccine mandate?
Well,
as opposed to what Paul has written to us in Romans 13, and then a lot of Christians don't even know that there were other, Titus spoke of obeying the government, mm-hmm. as did Peter.
Yeah.
And it seems like they always focus on Romans 13, 1 to 2. And
so
I would love your take on that.
On what? How do we submit to the government in light of COVID and mask wearing?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
All that.
The United States government
does
not have, the federal government does not have the authority, according to the Constitution, to mandate what we put into our bodies. It's an oppressive authoritarian thing. So they don't have that right. But because the news media is leftist and because so many people are weak-minded, they're not standing up what the Constitution says, what these people swore to uphold. They're not doing it because the socialists are moving in to take over. And with that comes the issue of loss of freedom. So that's what it is. Okay.
So as a Christian, Matt, what mm-hmm. should our response be, brother? What should the Christian response be?
We always obey the government unless the government contradicts Scripture. The Bible teaches, government-wise, it teaches that we are not to adopt socialism. It's not a biblical position. And the biblical position is that, we have a representative form of government out of Exodus 18, self-governance out of Matthew 18, private property rights, Exodus 20.
Love those scriptures.
That's awesome.
A lot. Love those scriptures.
The principle,
please repeat them if you would. That was fast.
Well, you just go to carm.org, C-A-R-M, and type in what is socialism.
Yep.
And at the bottom of the article, that's where I've written this. I wrote it when did I write it a while back. You can just go there and read, and it's listed. You know, the principles of liberty and freedom, capitalist principles, witnesses and a fair trial. This is not what the left wants, and so we have to resist, biblically, we better resist socialism, because socialism ultimately is a confiscation, it's a form of stealing that's legal, and this is a problem.
Wow.
And it is. Socialism is communism light, and then people don't realize that as socialism and power increases, the bureaucracy around it and within it increases, which means in order to gain power and keep power, they have to restrict power from the individuals. And so they always confiscate guns from the population, because if they can confiscate guns and weapons, then they can control them. And this is just how it works.
Like what happened in Australia.
What's happening in Australia, which is, it's back to a penal colony. Yeah, it's bad news.
Yeah, isn't that a shame?
Yeah, it is.
So
and they want us to get rid of our guns. Go ahead.
Yes. So the Christian is in the right to contact his congresspeople, his mm-hmm. senators, his local governments, school boards, state legislatures.
Okay. And run for politics, and preachers should be mentioning this stuff in the pulpit when it's appropriate. Not every day, isn't it? Not every
job. Matt, that's a powerful statement, sir. Wow.
But it's a biblical statement.
Wow.
All areas of theology are... All areas of life are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. All areas.
Sure.
Jesus says, give the Caesar what is Caesar's. He didn't say, don't do anything with politics. It's the fact that the Christians have bought into this lie that separation of church and state means that we can't even talk about it in a pulpit.
Yeah.
Where do they get off? Where's the secular state giving us the right to speak or not speak the truth from the pulpit? And the people who submit to that...
The wall that goes up... Yeah, go ahead, sir. Finish your statement.
The ones who submit to that are weaklings. They need to stand up and be men and speak the truth, not be afraid to speak the truth, and say what needs to be said, and face the consequences.
Let me ask you this, Matt.
Yeah?
Yes. The 501(c) status seems like that's the main reason, brother, that churches will not even get close to that
water. Guess what? I run a 501(c)(3) organization. Look what I'm saying on the radio. You shouldn't vote for Biden. You should not have voted for him. He's a wannabe commie. who is pro-homosexual and pro-abortion and pro-socialist. Sure. Christians don't have a right to vote for it. I would say it. I don't have any problem saying it. There you go. You don't like it? Take away my 501c3.
But would you say that from your pulpit? Would you? Yeah. Yes. Would you say that from your pulpit, though, Matt?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You would. Wow.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, I am behind you. 100%,
this is my pulpit.
Brother. Yes.
This is my pulpit.
Yeah.
I preach and teach here. And I've been doing it for years and years and years. And I'll say it. And we have got to resist the socialist movement and the liberalism of our society and our government. Christians need to set up. But you need to do it in a godly way, not with violence. They need to do it by voting, and they need to get people, Christians, in offices, and we need to vote in bloc, and we need to make sure that we can trust our elections. There's all kinds of
that.
So, you see, I'm not a Christian who sits. I'm a Christian who believes in going out and making disciples of all nations and resisting evil.
That's what I do, brother.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And all Christians should do that to some degree. It just depends on capacity. Okay. Yeah. And I got stuff on COVID
so
I'll probably be talking about tomorrow or the next day that is going to be shocking.
Awesome.
And I have it documented from the VAERS website. Okay? And I mean it. It's going to be shocking. I found it over the weekend. I went and verified stuff
and
today.
And I can find that at carm.org?
Yeah, it's not released yet. But you can go to carm.org/COVID and see what's there. I'm going to release some information. And probably tomorrow I'll talk to people about checking it out. It's, we're being...
And then the story that you referred to my question was, what is socialism, correct? Yeah.
What is socialism on carm? Go check it out. Okay? All right, buddy?
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much,
Matt.
Have a great evening, sir.
All right. God bless.
Bye.
All right. Let's get to Paul from Virginia, if he's still there, for 36 minutes. Sorry, buddy. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Sorry for the long wait, man.
What it's okay.
Okay, I'll put you on hold again.
The reason for my call today is I would like to know, or I would like to tell you and your listeners about a book that I bought about a week ago called COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter R. Breggin, M.D., with his wife Ginger Ross Breggin. And there are introductions in the book. I figured this would help you in your research, as you stated some weeks ago, that you're doing concerning COVID-19 and these COVID-19 shots. And with this book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Dr. Peter Breggin, he's got forewords or introductions in the book by Peter A. McCullough, Elizabeth Lee Billette, and Vladimir Zelenko. All of these are doctors. And I've only started reading this book. It's about 400 pages long. But just from reading the beginning of it and going through different parts of it, all of this was really planned over the last several years. And according to this book, if it's true that we are being lied to about everything.
We're being lied to.
I know,
I have the proof.
I have the
documentary proof from VAERS that we're being lied to about the effectiveness of the vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd really like you to read this book and maybe have. I know you interview people sometimes on your program, but what they aren't saying in some of these people that are speaking out about this is that those that have chosen to receive this shot, I won't call it a vaccine, as I did in my case, because I had health issues that put me in kind of a catch-22. And that's what I see this as being, in a kind of a way, is a catch-22 situation, if you do or you do not, depending on your individual health circumstances.
Okay.
But in my circumstance, I was doing fine until September 27th, and I had two MDs tell me that they thought I should get this booster. And I went and got it, and I was in the emergency room that night.
Yep,
with swollen
that's pretty
lymph
typical.
Nodes and 183/109 blood pressure.
Whoa.
And within 5 days, my breathing changed. My breathing changed within 5 days, and I started having thoracic back pain. When I think it's done, I've been doing my own research to try to figure out what I should do myself.
I tell you what, because one of the things I want to do is collect anecdotes, stories, personal stories. And I've been asking people, send them to info@karm.org, and I'll put a section up where it's just people's stories. This is not proof of anything. This is their story. That's all I'll do. And then people can, and if you want, you know, I can put your name or not name or contact info or not contact info, you know. I won't let anything out.
Right, I'm not telling people either way what to do. I'm just saying what happened to me. And I won't. I don't think I would ever let them do this to me again, because I have not been the same since September 27th, and I've been on a merry-go-round of doctors to try to figure out what's going on, because I think it inflamed my pulmonary flora.
They're finding out that taking the vaccine reactivates a lot of problems. There's lots of accounts of this, and I'm going to release, probably going to release some information, the next 24 hours on stuff that I found on VAERS, and the action, and I'll even teach people in there how to go in and get the same information from the official site till they
Great.
Take it down.
Well, I wish people would read this book. It's really alarming about. Okay. I'm not even going to say all the names involved, but. It's really high level, and it's, I can't believe
I already bought
being
it.
Lied to like this.
I bought it while you were talking. Okay.
Oh, so, okay. Great.
All right. So I'm going to check it out. I got a lot to check out. I've got, and also Unreported Truths is good too.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. God bless. All right. Yep, folks. Oh, it is scary. Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, what do you want, buddy? What's up, man?
Good evening, Matt Slick. I want to know while Jesus was a man on earth, while he being crucified and beaten and all that, we still didn't control the whole universe, planets, animals, the whole elements, and the whole invisible realm. He still control of everything
can't
still
answer.
While being a man on the earth?
I can't answer. And the reason I can't answer is because we're almost out of time, and the topic areas that it will get into are multiple. Because there are some serious issues talked about under what it might mean for the nature of him being under the law and having emptied himself. We have to discuss these possibilities, what it might mean. And without knowing exactly what they mean, we can't answer the questions accurately. And we just can't say for sure, I should put it. But there's certain, there's attributes that are necessary to being divine. And yet it says he was cooperating, you know, he'd emptied himself. So to what extent does he empty himself and yet retain his divine attributes? We have to discuss these things. And it's a complicated thing. So I don't have a good, simple answer for you. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, you can research it more than put it on your
perspective. Yeah, a lot of other stuff. Okay, buddy, God bless. Hey, Chris from North Carolina, give me a call tomorrow. Comment about Mary, Jesus, and sin. I would love to hear you your comments about that. Okay, tomorrow we're out of time. May the Lord bless you. Hey, everybody, by His grace, back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.